Charles Farnham. Mr. DeCiase.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, counsel, Thomas G. DeCiase on behalf of the defendants, Carl Farnham, Kent Rhodes, and Alan Verhoda. This is an appeal from a denial of qualified immunity by the district court, and position of the defendants on this appeal is that that denial was erroneous and should be reversed. The case arose out of a long prosecution and investigation that involved five different law enforcement agencies, culminating in the arrest of Duke and Herbert Board for a murder that occurred 15 years earlier, followed by 4 months of incarceration in the Edgar County Jail, and a trial which resulted in a not guilty for the defendants in that case, Ford and the Board brothers. They then filed a lawsuit and named four of the five agencies involved in the prosecution. And I would call it a shotgun lawsuit. It really challenged every single aspect of that criminal case, from the arrest, the search, the investigations, the interrogations, the prosecution, the criminal, the incarceration in Edgar County Jail. There were, I think I counted, approximately 60 different claims involved in the entire case with an 18-count complaint. And out of all of that, from summary judgment motions that were filed, three claims survived. And these defendants, and three of the defendants survived. All other defendants are out of the case. And these three defendants now face a jury trial on allegations that they did not provide an adequate amount of toothpaste to the plaintiffs, that there was a dirty duct system involving ventilation. They're calling it ventilation. It's not quite ventilation, but I'll get to that in a second. And that Duke Board didn't receive adequate medical attention regarding his asthma. Our position is that the defendant should have gotten qualified immunity on this, because the law is just not clear that what they did provide to the plaintiffs was inadequate.
Well, the problem is the district judge saw it, and as you agree, that there is no there are substantial question of material fact involved.
Yeah. Well, he did, but we're not actually challenging that aspect of the decision. There's the entire analysis involving conditions of jail confinement is a two-step process, and the first part is an objective analysis. Were the conditions objectively such that they could be seen as unconstitutional? Part two is, did the defendants inflict those conditions with deliberate indifference? And what the district court did was skipped over step one in the process, went right to the deliberate indifference part of it. But really, step one, in our view, is what lends itself to qualified immunity. Step two doesn't, because typically that could be a fact issue. But whether or not the conditions themselves were objectively capable of being unconstitutional, put aside the deliberate indifference part, is why we think the defendants are entitled to
qualified
immunity.
But don't we have to accept the, in this case, the plaintiff's view of what the facts were?
Well, but even accepting the plaintiff's facts on the conditions themselves, our view is that it's not clearly established that these were unconstitutional conditions. I mean, I don't think even the plaintiffs can say, maybe they will, but objectively, the conditions here weren't so incredibly inhumane or horrible that anybody would be totally shocked by it. It was a question of, did they get enough toothpaste? I got toothpaste.
You have to accept, I assume, that they, for 90% of the time during incarceration, they didn't have toothpaste.
Well, that's for one, that's for Jerry, but then you also have to accept Jerry's own admission that he used the toothpaste. Part of the problem with the 90% is that he used the toothpaste as paste to put papers up around the place. So, I mean, you have to accept that aspect of it. That was his own testimony. But neither of them deny that they got toothpaste.
Well, I mean, the toothpaste is the most problematical. The dental care, where they allege teeth were broken off by your dentist, the facts of the asthma and the problems he had with that are a little more serious.
Well, regarding the dental care, that's not an issue that the district court found to be to go forward. Summary judgment was granted on the dental care aspect of it, so it really isn't a question of a denial of dental care here. And we didn't appeal from that, obviously. We prevailed on that aspect of it. It's the toothpaste aspect of it that we're appealing on. And our
position. Why he went to the dentist, I guess.
Well,
So they say.
So they say, but they don't prove that. And there has to be some evidence to establish. I mean, teeth don't rot in 3 or 4 months, and they did get toothpaste.
But conditions do worsen.
Well,
can become acute. Is that the point?
That's possible, but there's no evidence to show that that was the case here. And Duke himself said that it was the result of eating too many donuts. But
well, that's what you gave him for breakfast.
He
wanted some nourishment, and they gave him 2 donuts a day. That's what he ate.
Well, the district court, I mean, there was a dispute over that. The district court granted summary judgment on the allegation of inadequate food. So that's not an issue that we're presenting.
Yeah, we're talking about if you're going to give him that kind of food, maybe you better give him toothpaste, too, especially if he's got a dental condition.
Okay, well, the point is they did give him toothpaste. And for Duke, in Duke's case, he says he went a 3-week period without any toothpaste, but he got toothpaste otherwise. And your own Harris case said 10 days was not an intolerable condition. So our point is, how clearly established is it that 21 days would be an intolerable condition so that he would be denied qualified immunity? That's the toothpaste issue. On the ventilation issue, now, this is a trickier one because it sounds worse than it is, in my view. What we're talking about is it's not ventilation really, it's heat. It's what's in the dust, so it's when the heat is on. That's what might push this dust into the jail. And you have said, this court has said, that if you deny heat in a even short period of time, that could be an intolerable condition. So this fellow is faced with the prospect of turning off the heat or allowing dust into the...
Well, they allege more than dust. They allege asbestos.
They don't prove that.
But it's just an allegation. We have to... You're not going to prove it until you go to trial, whether it was or not, I assume.
Well, I would submit to the court that they have a little higher burden than that. Now, it's not on the complaint. This isn't on the complaint. This is summary judgment. And they did not produce evidence to establish enough to overcome qualified immunity.
They had contractors tell I guess it was the sheriff, person in charge, hey, you know, you've got to change this. It's moldy in there.
The contractor says that. Keep in mind, what you're talking about, the contractor doing, would be a major renovation of the jail, ripping out the ceiling, and it would require some major action. The plaintiffs are only there for 4 months. And when does the heat come on? They used to come in August. They're out by the beginning of December. So we're talking about a very short period of time in which they would have been subjected. And we're talking about dust. Is there your cases talk about what urgency was being faced by the administrator who has to make the decision? And we're not talking about something extremely toxic or something that is so urgently dangerous to them that Farnham would have been required to act immediately by getting everybody out of there, rehousing them somewhere else, tearing out the entire heating system, duct system, and replacing it immediately. Our position is it just wasn't completely clearly established that these were violations. It appears that I have 1 minute left. Getting to the final point regarding the treatment for medical for the asthma condition. One of the exhibits in the record sets out the treatment that that Duke Bort got, and he got an inhaler at least twice a day. He was given medication all the time. They bought him a nebulizer to give him breathing treatments which is the first time in his life he'd ever gotten that kind of a treatment. They took him to the hospital several times. They had a nurse come in to check him. He says that on a few occasions, and he thought Verhoda was the person who was least responsive, and he also included an affidavit from one of his neighbors in the jail about non-responsiveness. And when they talk about a 15-minute non-responsiveness, again, it's not clearly established in our view that that could be a constitutional violation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll hear now from Ms. Redwood.
Good morning, Your Honor. Jude Redwood for the plaintiff. May it please the court and counsel. Your Honor, it's always a pleasure to come home to Chicago, although I have to leave at 4 in the morning to get here before rush hour so I can be on time. I forgot to brush my teeth this morning because I was a little sleepy, but luckily I am a free person. And I stopped at the store and got my toothpaste and my toothbrush and was able to take care of those, what I consider needs. My clients, Duke and Jerry, were not such a free person. They were incarcerated in the jail for 126 days, and Jerry testified that for 90% of that time, I did the math, 114 days, he didn't have toothpaste. Counsel states part of the reason he didn't have toothpaste is because he used it to put things up. Well, that's not really stating the facts correctly. Jerry had it at a toilet which was full of human waste to the point of overflowing for over 100 days in his cell, and at times he used a toothpaste to try to glue toilet paper over that so that he didn't become sick. This case is not simply what's left. My case received a terrible X below, and I expect we'll be back again. The toothpaste in combination with the other atrocities at the Edgar County Jail are what brought us here today, and I did not challenge the prosecution as counsel suggested. We're challenging the horrendous conditions in the jail here. I would state that you don't need to be totally shocked by the conditions, as counsel stated. What we need is a deliberate indifference to the welfare, and I would remind the court that my clients are pretrial detainees, and so they cannot be punished. They can't be punished. First of all, we argue that the court lacks jurisdiction to hear this appeal. The district court clearly stated its findings of fact. The defendants are not now free under Johnson versus Jones to argue their own version of the facts. They can only argue that given the facts seen in the light most favorable to the non-movement, the plaintiff, the constitutional violations alleged were not clearly established, and they failed to adhere to that Johnson standard. They're merely paying lip service to the Johnson standard. Throughout the brief and even in the reply brief, the defendants repeatedly and unashamedly misstate the facts, and they slant the facts in favor of the defendants while stating that they're not. I would urge the court to read the record and to read the court below's statement of the facts and why the court found that way. My first argument is that the appeal should be dismissed for lack of jurisdiction. And the alternative, on the ventilation issue, we're not talking about an air circulation issue, which a lot of the cases that come up from the prisons merely talk about the circulation of air, particularly in summertime. They need a fan. It's hot. The air isn't moving. The air isn't moving anywhere in summer in Illinois. We're not talking about air movement. What we're talking about, as court noted, is pollution within the air ducts. And Mr. Farnham's own witness, Mr. Farnham called Mr. Walker to the jail. He stated, and Mr. Walker stated, that the sheriff called him there because there were complaints of people getting sick. I want you to check it out. Well, Mr. Farnham did the right thing. He called in the professional, and I would submit to the court that he called in an expert, that Mr. Walker is an expert under Rule 702 because he's a heating and air conditioning contractor. He studied this. He works it. He's presumably had training in it.
Do you concur with counsel's description of this duct system? Was it just for heating, or was it also used as a ventilation or air conditioning system?
It was used as ventilation, and there's parts of the jail that have air conditioning, but for definitely heating. It was the same duct system that was used for all of it. Some of the jail has air conditioning, other parts does not have air conditioning.
But the counsel's point was, given the time of year these people were incarcerated, is it really probable that that system was operative if all it did was deliver heat? Did it deliver something other than heat while your clients were there?
Jerry was in the upstairs, which is the old part, and did not have air conditioning. Duke was in the downstairs. They kept them separated, which did have air conditioning. It was one system. They were in the jail from August through the end of December. So the system would have been functioning at least part of the time in the winter months. I think that counsel's argument, however, that what else could the sheriff do, having these people in here, there's plenty of things that he could do. And in fact, one of the things that Sheriff Farnham did do when human waste backed up through the drains and covered the floor of the jail is transported the inmates, except for my two clients, to the Marshall Jail in Clark County.
Was any explanation given as to why your clients weren't similarly transported?
There was, Judge, and we lost that on summary judgment. There was another claim that we lost on summary judgment.
What was that claim?
They needed to keep the two men separated because they were co-defendants, and they didn't want to send someone who was in jail for murder to the Clark County Jail. Certainly, there's other jails. I say the winter begins, it's not southern Illinois, it's central Illinois, so November. From November, we started to need heat, so through two full months. That they need heat? November and December? December? Well, Judge, I'm sorry, but there isn't actually any evidence or testimony as to when the jail turned on the heating system and began heating. But coming from that area, we've already been using heat starting in November. So November, December. And my clients were in jail until December 6th, on or about December 6th, when they were acquitted of the charges and released. I think we also, besides distinguishing that this is not a lack of air movement, it's not a stagnant air case, what we're actually talking about is environmental pollution, which Mr. Farnham was made aware of and decided to do nothing about it. He didn't even respond to the bid that Mr. Walker testified that he sent. Another issue that I need to clarify on the vent system and the duct system is that Mr. Farnham did have a maintenance crew come in to vacuum the vent covers. And I tried to explain this in the brief, that the duct system is quite different from the covers. The covers are the little things that just cover the vent where it comes in. I think that that the judge made the correct findings of fact that this was a well-established light. It needs to go to trial, and that the defendant should not have immunity on it. In regards to Duke Board's asthma, at issue here is the ventilation system as well as the medical system. He entered the jail with a serious medical condition. Now, if you read through the record, you will find that Sheriff Farnham went to high school with Duke and Jerry's father. In fact, they were old buddies, and Sheriff Farnham knew Duke and Jerry since they were little kids.
How large a community is this, the county?
Basically, everybody knows each other. I don't have the population in the county jail. There's one jailer per shift. They have approximately maybe 20 prisoners at a time in the jail. It's a very small rural county. And Paris is probably the biggest town around there. It's just outside of Terre Haute, on this side of the Illinois line. So what we're not talking about something that that Sheriff Farnham is not aware of. He was aware that Duke had a pre-existing condition of asthma. If for any reason he could say that he was not aware of that, He certainly became aware of that because about 2 weeks into the jail cell, Duke's asthma began to get progressively worse. 2 weeks after he started breathing the air, and that's in the evidence. After that, instead of having to use one nebulizer, he had to use one nebulizer per month. It increased to one every 2 days, and this is a prescription medication that the jail was paying for. He was rushed to the hospital at least 2 times with severe asthma attacks, and for the first time in his life, Duke had to start using a breathing machine that they actually plug in, and it gave him air. They had to take him out of his cell and put him into the booking room to use the breathing machine. So there's no way that the defendants can try to say that they were not aware of the serious medical condition, the seriousness of it. What we have are a couple of jail guards who were just too damn lazy to do what they were supposed to do. They said, "I'll do it when I get time," but they didn't seem to get time. And Duke testified that the jail guard would come in the morning and he'd be almost dead. Your Honors, for all the reasons stated, we would ask first that the appeal be dismissed for lack of jurisdiction, and alternatively, that the case be sent back for trial on the merits. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Redwood. Sir, your time had expired. We'll give you a minute, though, if you have something you really need to say.
Very good. Thank you, Your Honor. Just on the jurisdiction issue, I think I covered that initially, but I just want to point out we were very careful to appeal from the issue we think is still alive for this court, and that's prong one, the objective part, which is not what the court down below addressed as there being factual issues over. And we are taking the plaintiff's facts in doing this. But there are also undisputed facts that the defendants put forward, which we're taking as well. So we think that jurisdiction is absolutely proper with the court. We didn't talk enough about the asthma issue early on, so I just want to address that for a minute. Duke provided no evidence that any ventilation problem aggravated his asthma. There's no evidence in the record of that at all. In fact, Duke started smoking again when he went back into the jail, and started to smoke a pack of cigarettes a day. So if there's going to be some presumption of what's aggravating his asthma, that is probably a more likely source of cause of aggravation of the asthma than anything, any dust that might be into the air. We would ask that the court reverse and grant qualified immunity.
Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Thank you.
Our thanks to both counsel, and the case will be taken under advisement.